Okay, the seventh chapter is called Gyana Vijnana Yoga. So Gyana and Vijnana means knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge has to transfer into wisdom where it has to become part of your life. Like a doctor, you know, has learned medicine, but then when she or he is faced with a patient, it doesn't know what to do, and that is not wisdom. An engineer has studied all the engineering knowledge, but they tell him, now you need to make a bridge across the river, and he gets confused. He says, I don't know how to, then it's not wisdom. Then it is book knowledge. So Sri Krishna says that whatever you have read or whatever you have studied, you have to apply that in your life. The Bhagavad Gita, Swamiji Chidmayananda Beautiful used to say, people would say, Swamiji, I have gone through the Bhagavad Gita 3 times. Swamiji says, you have gone through the Bhagavad Gita, but has the Bhagavad Gita gone through you? Has it become within you? Have you internalized it? Have you made it part of your life? So that is explained how this knowledge can become vijnan. Not only gyan, but it becomes vijnan, wisdom. And then he talks about the lower and the higher nature. He says, Lord says, I have a lower nature and a higher nature. Actually, everything is nothing but the Lord himself. But right now, we are so fascinated with the world, which he says is the lower nature. And the lower nature, he says, Ashtada Prakriti, air, space, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. So these are the 8 Kham Vayur Jyotirapaha, all those, you know, those Prithvi Vishvasya Dharni. And so these are the 8-fold Prakriti of the Lord. Air, space, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. And that is all, the whole universe is just that, just those 8 things. And then, of course, others are, you know, sub-divisions of that. So anything here, what you see, the body, the mind, the intellect, the vasanas, and the body, with the body I become a perceiver of objects, with the mind I become a feeler of emotions, with the intellect I become a thinker of thoughts. So this is me, the body, mind, and intellect. We are my vasanas or tendencies. And the world is objects, emotions, and thoughts. So this all is the lower prakriti, the lower nature of the Lord. Everything, including my body, including my mind, my intellect, my desires, including the whole universe. What is the higher? Higher is Om. That alone is the higher prakriti or the higher nature of the Lord. And then Sri Krishna says, and they are not separate. My higher nature supports this whole universe. The whole universe is sustained by me. I am penetrating through everything. The Lord is all pervading. He's there in every cell of our body multiplying. He's there in space. He's there in air. He's there in the space between us. He's talking through me. He's listening through all of you. So he says, I am the taste in water. I am the light in the sun and the moon. I am the power in the powerful, but power that is used for good. So he says, all those, whatever activities you are doing, I am the one. So it is my higher nature that is working through the world. So do not be so fascinated by the world that you forget the support, the substratum, because of which you are functioning. So he is trying to tell us both, so that we should turn our attention from the lower nature and become one with the higher. Yes. Oh, intellect and ego. Okay. So the body, of course, we function with. The mind is the seat of thoughts. The intellect is the seat of judgment, of decision, of understanding. Ego is the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. This concept that I am the doer. I am the doer is the ego. And the ego is what separates me from others, that he and she and mine. This is mine and this is hers and this is yours. And ego also separates me from the Lord. Because as long as I am in the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, then I am the doer, then I get further away from the Lord. But when you say Lord is functioning through me, he's the one doing everything, then that is how you reduce your ego. And when you have any success, you say, oh Lord, it is because of you. When you have a failure, you say, Lord, I didn't do a good enough job. I should have put more effort. But such a wise person's every active, and even in person is truly dedicated to the Lord. Even when there's failure, he says, Bhagwan, that is yours. It wasn't mine. I didn't. It's not that he didn't put enough effort, but suppose a wise person, say, wants to build a hospital or an orphanage or a church or a temple, and the community does not participate, and he puts all his effort and thinks, you know, Lord is working through me and all, and still it doesn't happen because the people, so he says, Lord, there is the community ka prarabh nahi tha. It was not the destiny of this community to get it. So it is your doing. You know, if you think it will succeed, and you know. So that is ego, and that is how you distinguish from intellect. Intellect is my discriminating capacity that decides what is right, what is wrong, and so on. So then he talks about the four kinds of devotees. He says, Artho, Artharthi, Jignyasu, and Jnani. He says, four kind of devotees come to me. One is Arthi. Arthi means one who is suffering. He says, Lord, I am suffering. You relieve my suffering. My child is sick or I am sick. So that is okay. They go to the Lord. Other one is Artharthi, where he wants something. You know, he thinks Lord is the ATM. So he just punches his card. Okay, God, give me a job. Give me more money. Give me a child. Make sure my daughter finds a good husband. So those are Artharthi, where I go to the Lord asking for something. Then the third is Jignyasu. He says, I just want to read it. He doesn't have any interest in practicing. He wants to know Sanskrit. He wants to become a Sanskrit scholar so he can give lectures like me and give talks, may not know anything, but he just wants to become a professor in a university or something like that. So that is called a Jignyasu, where he is learning Sanskrit or learning the scriptures, not for his spiritual advancement, maybe to show off his knowledge or maybe to get a PhD. You know, he's doing a PhD in philosophy or PhD in religion or something. So he'll pick up Bhagavad Gita and study it in detail, and he'll know all the grammar of it, and he'll know all the, you know, the various cases, you know, fifth case and eighth case, and he'll know all the subtleties of the poetry, you know, what beautiful poetry. That's very good. But his goal is not to advance. So these are the third. One is who comes for suffering, one who comes for getting something. A third one is just learning for the sake of learning. But the fourth one he calls Jnani. He says, Jnani wants me. Jnani doesn't want anything from me. He doesn't want money. He doesn't want health. He doesn't want anything for his children. He says, God, I just want you. And he says, that is, they're all dear to me. They're all good. At least they come to me. That is wonderful. But the best is the one who goes to the Lord and says, I want you and you alone. Rest, whatever I need, in the ninth chapter, he will say, I provide. He says, one who works for me, I take care of them. So you don't, and the Lord already knows. He knows you need a job. He knows your daughter needs to get married. Why do you have to tell him that? Just tell him, God, I want you. That's it. And once you get him, everything comes automatically. So that is the kind of devotee we should be, where you go to God for God's sake. Eighth one is called the Akshar Brahma, the imperishable Brahman. And here he talks very beautifully about what happens at death, how at time of death the body is dropped and the subtle body goes into higher worlds, and what happens. And then the last thought that the person has at the time of death takes him to that loka. So people say, last thought, that is wonderful. At the last time of death, I'll think of God. I don't need to think of God my whole life. When you are in that state, if you have whole life thought of money, you're not going to suddenly think of God. If your whole life you have been just thinking about, you know, your children and your work and your home, that's what thought will come. There's this story about this man who was very rich, and throughout life he had, you know, acquired a lot of money. And he was on his deathbed, and children had heard, you know, that if the last thought is about God, he will go to heaven. So they brought 11 pandits, and they said, start chanting the Bhagavad Gita. So they said, 11 pandits all around him chanting loudly. He has to have that last thought of God. And they were chanting, and he immediately thought, 11 pandits, each one is going to get $101. $1,100 is going to cost me. And he died with that thought of $1,100. So the point is that no matter what you do, if whole life, if you have thought about money, that will be. So start thinking about God from today itself. Remember him on all occasions. You know, when you see the beauty, when you turn on the tap, when you're breathing, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed, constantly think about him. And then the qualities of the Lord, all what I know, what are his beautiful qualities? He's the sun, he's the supporter of this universe, all that we have talked about. And then he talks about the unmanifest and manifest, that there was unmanifest, and then the world appeared, and then the world again will become unmanifest. In the chapter 8, he also talks about the path of the sun and the path of the moon. The path of the sun, he says, is the path of light, the path of knowledge, the path of wisdom, the path of good activity. So people who go on this path, they reach the higher worlds. And then the path of the moon, he talks about. Moon is, you know, at nighttime, and a lot of our negative activities or the sense activities are done at night. A lot of the cheating, stealing, bank robbery, all those things are done at night. So he says, those who go on the path of the moon, that means the path of sense pleasures and the path of illegal activities, go towards the path of the moon. Not that there's anything wrong with the sun or the moon, but it's just the direction, whether you're going towards light or you're going towards darkness. And so he talks about, he describes that beautifully in chapter 8. Chapter 9 is one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. I think most scholars of the Bhagavad Gita will tell you that 9 and 15, these are the two chapters that are the favorite of most of the Gita Acharyas. 9th is called Royal Secret, Raj Vidya Raja Guhyam. And in that, he says the secret is that this truth has been taught to us repeatedly. We have read about it, but we still don't understand it. It remains a secret for us. We don't apply it. And then he talks about how this world, everywhere the Lord is, but we don't see him. Why? Because we focus on the superficial. And also he says the world originated from me, but I am not involved in what is happening. Just as the ocean is there, all the waves emerge from the ocean. But whether a wave is born or a wave is dying, the ocean is not involved. Ocean doesn't start becoming happy for all the waves being born and sad for all the waves dying, because it's constantly happening. Waves are rising, falling. Ocean says they happen in me, but I am not in them. They are in me, I am not in them. In fact, they are not in me at all. In fact, in reality, there is no waves, there is no ocean, it's all just water. So that truth is given very beautifully in the 9th chapter. It's a very difficult subject, but if you read it, it will make it very clear what is the relationship between God and the world. And then the techniques and benefits of devotion, of service, of knowing the Lord is beautifully explained. How to love God, how to know him, what are the techniques, and then how this wise person lives in total peace, in total happiness. And then he also, Lord says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janaf paryupasate tesham nitya bhiyukta nam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So this is actually one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 9th chapter, he says that those who do my work and those who remember me at all times, he said, then they become my responsibility. Then I take care of them. Whatever they need, I provide. Then he gives, this is like a lifetime warranty. You know, he says, you do my work and you never have to worry. Your car will never break down. Even if it breaks down, I'll repair it. So that kind of a guarantee Shri Krishna gives. And if you look at the lives of great saints, how beautifully he carries them through all their sufferings, through all their sorrows. Look at Sant Gyaneshwar, look at Tukaram, look at Mirabai, how many problems they have, but the Lord was always there to protect them. So that is the very, very beautiful verse in the 9th chapter. The 10th is another very practical chapter, because First of all, he talks about the Lord as the creator, how he created the universe. We have done that today, so I won't go into the details, but he talks quite much in detail about creation. And then Arjuna asks him, he says, Lord, you say you are everywhere, but I don't see you there. It's hard for me to think of Krishna at all times, or hard for me to think of Jesus or Mother Goddess or Durga or Ganpati. So how can I know you? Where are you? Tell me where you are, so at least then I can find you. So Sri Krishna says, look, my divine glories are innumerable. He says, I want to know every place you are and all your glories in detail, you tell me. Krishna says, it's not possible. If I try to tell you that, it will take months. And now the battle is about to start. I don't have that much time. So I will tell you few points. So about 40 different places where you can find the Lord. So he says, like, among the birds, I am the Garuda, the eagle. Among stationary objects, I am Mount Everest. Among the rivers, I am Ganges. Among the animals, I am the lion. Among humans, I am the king or the president. So all these beautiful places, he's that the idea being that then in the end, he says, wherever you see anything beautiful, anything glorious, you can see me. You see a flower blooming, I am there. You see a child smile, I am there. You see somebody doing a great job, somebody, you know, accomplishing great deeds and, you know, doing very good for the country, I am there. So, yat yat vibhuti vat satvam. He says, wherever you see anything glorious, anything beautiful, you see a little part of mine, little part of me. So, the idea being that you can see the Lord in everything that is beautiful, everything that is... In fact, he's there in also things that are ugly. He's there everywhere. But if you want to remember me, these are little pointers I am giving you. So that is how he has done that in the 10th chapter. The 11th is a very, very powerful, is one of the best poetries. If you want to see good poetry in the Bhagavad Gita, an excellent description, that is the 11th chapter. And in the 11th chapter, Arjuna tells Krishna that you told me where you are. You are in the trees, you are in the forest, you are in the mountains, you are in the rivers, you are there in the okay. But you also told me the whole world is in you. He said, yep, by mistake I told you that. So he said, okay, I want to see the whole world in you. Imagine the courage of the devotee. He says, you told me you are in everything. Good. Now I want to see everything in you. That is the question of Arjuna right in the beginning of the 11th chapter. And then he realizes that, you know, he was a little bit demanding, little rude. So his tone changes. He says, if you think I am worthy of it, then please show me your divine glory. So humbly he asked that, if you think I can see that, show me your cosmic form, show me your glory. So then Krishna says, with these eyes, you cannot see that. Devyam dadami me te chakshuhu, pasya me yogam aishwaram. I'll give you the divine vision by which you can see that. So he changes Arjuna's vision and gives him a divine vision. And I think here it's not in this, but we have at one time had this cosmic form. There is maybe I'll bring it next time. But in that one form of Krishna, Arjuna sees the whole universe. He sees not only all the humans, he sees all the animals, he sees all the plants. He even sees all the gods, Brahma and Vishnu and Mahesh and Rudra and all the, and the Ashwini and Ashwini Kumaras and Varuna and all the gods in heaven, even the snakes and the demons and the ghosts and the goblins, everything from all the heavens to all the hells, everything he sees. And he sees all the weapons and all the people. And not only that, but he sees the past, present and future in that form of the form of Krishna, 6 feet or whatever his height was. Right there he sees everything. And even he sees that in the future, that these Kauravas are going to be defeated, the evils are going to lose, and I'm going to win. So he sees the, and he says, I see Pashyami. He says, I see all these Karna and Drona and Bhishma, and all they are going into your mouth and dying. He sees this mouth of fire and all these evil kings are going into the mouth and burning. So the Lord assures him that this, if I am on your side, I am the Lord of the universe, there is definitely going to be no defeat for you. And also he shows him his divine glory, and there is a beautiful stuti. I've written the word stuti there, because that is one of the most beautiful. And Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says, this is from around verse 36 to 45. He says that in no literature of the world, anywhere, even in the Vedas, in the Upanishads, in any literature, whether in Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, there is no better praise of the Lord than that beautiful stuti done by Arjuna, of how he says, I see you everywhere, and all that. It's a very beautiful praise of the Lord. So Arjuna then praises the Lord, and at the end he says, this is too much for me, you know, because to see that divine huge form and the whole world in it and all the, you know, future and all the burning, he can't handle. He says, I don't want that. I want your original form with the four hands. He says, show me your Shankha Chakra Gada. So then Krishna blesses him with his form of Vishnu, and then ultimately becomes the charioteer again. So gets back in the chariot. So that is this 11th chapter called Cosmic Form or Virat Roop, Vishwaroop. And the 12th is again a very, very practical, very simple chapter, very easy to apply and very useful. We just finished that last year. The whole last year we were doing chapter 12, where Arjuna asks Krishna that, are you form or formless? You know, there are some people who worship God as a form. They worship as Krishna or Shiva or Mother Durga or Jesus, or, you know, whatever form. You worship them as a form. Buddha, you know, they have statues and they have idols. So are you that form, or are you that formless totality, the whole pervading the whole universe? And those who worship you with form, and there are some who contemplate on the totality, Aham Brahmasmi Tattvamasi, I am that totality, I am not this body, I am not confined to, and they don't think of God as confined to that statue or the temple, they see him as the total universe. So who is superior? Arjuna asks him. Who is better? The one who worships the form, Tesham ke yoga vitta maha, who is a better yogi? The one who worships you with form, or one who worships you with formless? And which one is better? So Krishna doesn't answer as which one is better. He explains it. He says that one who worships me with form, loves me with form, brings me in their heart at all times, takes me to work with them, constantly remembers, is very dear to me, because he is constantly, his mind is just full, and that's fine if that is how. But there are others who want to worship the formless, and you say, I don't see God in the temple, I see God in the people. But he says, Klesho adhik taras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham deha vadbhira vapyate. Was I right or wrong? So these are my students, Gita chanting, they are very good. So I have to be sure I don't make a mistake, otherwise they'll stand up. So anyway, so what he says is that to worship the formless is more difficult, because we are so identified, deha vadbhira vapyate. We are so identified with our body that I think of myself as this body. And somebody asked Raman Maharishi, is God form or formless? So Raman Maharishi says, are you form or formless? If you think of yourself as this form, then you worship God with the form. But if you think that I am that Om, that imperishable Om, but I am occupying this body at this moment, but in reality I am that, then he says, then you can see God everywhere. So he says it's more difficult. Klesho adhik taras tesham. It's a little more difficult, but it can be done. But you have to shift your vision. Instead of limiting yourself to this body, you say, I am Brahman, I am that consciousness occupying this body. Not that I am God, but I am part of that total consciousness that they call Brahman. And at this moment, I'm functioning through the body, mind, and intellect. And so this is my car. This is my instruments. This is my vehicle. But I am not. And once you do that, then You can see the formless. But then one who sees formless, worships formless, cannot limit their love to only one person, because then he's always sarva bhuta hite rataha. He says in the 12th chapter that then the person serves the whole world as myself, as I. Then he gives beautiful, very, very beautiful description of a devotee. You know, we say, I love God. I am dear. God is dear to me. Okay, but I love God, but does God love me? You say, well, God loves everybody. That is true. But who is the one that is closest to Lord? Krishna says, those who practice these qualities are close to me. They are dear to me. They are my devotees. And we have this beautiful series of descriptions, 32. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankarah samadukha sukha kshami. So he does not hate anybody. He loves everybody. He has no ego. He forgives everybody. He remains the same in joy and sorrow, heat and cold. So a true devotee who loves all, who has no arrogance, who has no ego, santushta satatam yogi yatatma drira nishchaya, she is always content, happy. Oh God, whatever you have given is fine. Whatever I get, I deserve. And self-controlled and devoted to me, constantly remembering me and firm in that belief. Not like a pajama, you know, it's not like a pajama personality that, you know, flips-flops from here to there. But firm in that belief, God and God and God alone I want. It doesn't matter how many people are opposed to me, what kind of problems I get. That is all I want. So that kind of yatatma dhrida nishchaya, mai arpit mano buddhihi, mind, intellect, body, everything is offered to me. Yo mad bhakta same priyah, such a devotee is dear to me. So here ends the summary of the 12 chapters. Any questions or comments? Then from next week, actually next week is Labor Day, so we won't have Bal Vihar. So in 2 weeks when we meet, we'll start the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter is called Kshetra, Kshetrajna Vibhag, Yogaha. So, Kshetra means the field and Kshetrajna means the knower of the field. So, the field is this world and the knower of the field is consciousness. So, what is the distinction between God and this world and how you can reach? It's a very powerful chapter. It has the essence of the Upanishads, what they call as Drig, Drishya, Vivek. So the distinction between the spirit and the matter, consciousness and the world. So that will be starting in 2 weeks. Any last minute questions, comments, anything people would like to mention? Any? Yes. Yes. Yeah, the content is the same in the individual. They have done a word-by-word translation. Swamiji has taken each word and translated it into English and also done the... It can be chanted in somebody who does not know Sanskrit. If you know English, you can chant because it has the transliteration. So it's a little... That's why it is spread out into 18 volumes, little small books. This is a little more just of the verse. The commentary is exactly the same. So if you can understand Sanskrit, you can take that. But I find for me, this is better because it does word by word. And when we do the verses, I try to do a word by word meaning. So in my opinion, this is better. But the other one is handy to carry because with one, you can carry all the 18 volumes. Here, you have to bring each chapter at a time. So whatever one's interest is. But the actual content, the commentary is the same and the verses are the same. There is no difference. I would recommend this one. There's very little difference in the price. It's only $4, $5. But the advantage is you can read word by word commentary if you're interested. You know, yona hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kangshati, you know, that way. You can see the word-by-word meaning it has been done. But that one is fine too. But I like this one, but whatever you wish. But definitely you should buy one of those. They will help. And not only that, but this will help you to go back. That what the teachers tell us is that you should study 2 verses of the Bhagavad Gita every day. Every night before you go to bed, read 2 verses with the commentary. And then throughout the day, think about those verses. And so 2 verses a day, because it is 700 verses in 1 year, you would have studied the entire Bhagavad Gita. I mean, you can do more, but if you do 2 verses at a time and think about it and contemplate, then that way you will have done in 1 year. So that's why it's good to have. But the commentary is important because, I mean, not because I belong to Chinmaya Mission, but I have read commentaries of this Bhagavad Gita by everybody. I have read by Vinoba Bhave, I have read Eknath Ishwaran's, I have read Tilak's, I have read Gita Press, and then a few others I have had, not in detail, but I have gone through. I have read Rajneesh's. But I find that there is no Bhagavad Gita, at least out of the ones I have read, that makes it that clear as this one. Because Swamiji has done it in English, which is simple to understand. And he has gone into details of the verses and given a very modern commentary, modern interpretation. So I find that this is the best commentary that I have read. That's my humble opinion. Not because I belong to the mission, but in honesty, it is the best commentary. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukh Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.